Please be seated, and Merry Christmas to you all. Tonight's our Christmas Eve service, and I welcome you all here tonight to Burlington East Presbyterian Church. And I have considerably more voice than I had 2 days ago, and much more voice than I had a week ago, but I'm still not over my cold quite yet, so I apologize for my voice in advance, and I will try to do my best to be clear and cough-free. At the end of the service, I will not be shaking hands with everybody because I don't want to share that much with everyone. And one final personal note, a lot of people have been asking, we have not had our grandchild yet. We're still waiting by the phone. So if my phone goes off during the service, I'll see you tomorrow. No. So tonight's service, as we've been doing for many years, is up on our screen. It will be up on our screen. The words are up there. We're going to... all our hymns, our carol songs will be up there as well. And for the most part, we'll be sitting as we sing. I think the first one we stand for and the last one, well, the last one's special. And you know, we've got a long-standing tradition of Silent Night here and what we do. But we do pray and hope that tonight's service will be a blessing to you all, to your families, and to you as individuals. And as we prepare for that service tonight, let's just take a moment, as we do every Sunday, and just calm our hearts and prepare ourselves for worship. Talking's okay. We join together now in a responsive call to worship.
Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger. Let us go now to Bethlehem. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Join together now in our first carol, and we will stand for this one if you're able. Hark, the herald angels sing.
Thank you.
please be seated. This is the time in our service when we come before God with prayers of adoration, prayers of confession, and followed by the Lord's Prayer. Now, the prayers of confession we do on a weekly basis to remind us about this word that I talk a lot about, it seems, from Sunday to Sunday, this word called sin. And we don't like that word or hear it too much because, as I've also mentioned, there's a lot of baggage that we can carry with that particular term. But all that means in that actual word definition, it comes from a Hebrew word and has to do with firing an arrow at a target and missing the mark. So sin, the English word sin, its Hebrew version or root, means to miss the mark. And that's what we're talking about when we're coming before God with prayers of confession. We're saying, Lord, I missed the mark again in these ways. Help me to do better. Help me to change my ways. And really, when we think about Christmas, we're always thinking about doing better and loving and being better relationship with people around us and with our God. And that's what this prayer is about. So let's bow our heads for a prayer of adoration, confession, followed by the Lord's Prayer. Living God, on this holy night, we gather to stand with shepherds who are amazed at your glory, to sing with angels who rejoiced in your work, to wait with Joseph trusting in your promise, to sit with Mary who cradled your love. Lord, we thank you for the good news this night has that inspires us to tell the world of your great joy that becomes our great joy. For unto us is born a Savior, the Messiah, the Lord. And we thank you for that and the blessings that you give us in our lives. Glory and praise be with you forever. We also come before you, Lord, at this particular time to think of those moments when we've missed the mark. Those times when we haven't been kind to someone else. The times when we maybe said something we shouldn't have. Or maybe we didn't say something when we should have. Those moments, Lord, that we've not lived up to that, loving our neighbors as you have loved us. Help us, Lord, to change our ways. Help us, Lord, to repent, which means to turn around 180 degrees in the other direction so that we can be your people and show your love and show your way to everyone we meet. And we pray all of this in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray the following. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. People of God, hear the good news of great joy. In Jesus Christ, we are all forgiven. Thanks be to God. Glory to God in the highest, and to peace to God's people on earth. And now we have a special song the choir is going to share with us.
Thank you.
Thank you, choir. Thank you so much. We are blessed with a great choir, and they've done a great job, and they've got much more for us tonight, I know. So thank you. We'll join together now. We'll sing our next carol, Infant Holy, Infant Lowly, and remain seated during this singing. I don't think I have that. Infant Holy, Infant Lowly is what I have on my slide. Sorry. So much for computers. Bethlehem's coming soon. Yes. Now we're coming to the part in our service when scriptures are going to be read out, and they're all related very directly to the Christmas story. In fact, as we read the gospel, we'll read the Christmas story. Now, I want you to listen to these readings, and if that means you want to close your eyes as I'm reading them out, you can do that. I'm giving you permission to close your eyes during church. If you snore, however, I may have something to say about that. The first reading that we're going to have is Psalm 98, and Psalm 98 is a psalm of praise, and it's talking about the greatness of God and the greatness that God is bringing into the land, and it's a wonderful psalm directed to this very night. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gotten him victory. The Lord has made known his victory. He has revealed his vindication in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the victory of our God. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and sing praises. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre and the sound of melody, with trumpets and the sound of the horn. Make a joyful noise before the King, the Lord. Let the sea roar and all that fills it, the world and those who live in it. Let the floods clap their hands. Let the hills sing together for joy at the presence of the Lord, for he is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity. And our Old Testament lesson tonight is taken from Isaiah chapter 9, and it's a very well-known reading from Isaiah, talking about the Son who is going to be born, the Son we know as Jesus. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in the land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For all the boots of the tramping warriors and all the garments rolled in blood shall be burned as fuel for the fire. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time onward and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. And as I mentioned this past Sunday, getting really well acquainted with the story of Jesus' birth is important for all of us. And the reading that I have from the Gospels today are taken from Luke and Matthew, and it's sort of that whole story in one capsule. And I want us to listen very carefully to all of the events that take place and pay particular attention to how things didn't necessarily always work out the way people had hoped. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in a manger. When they saw this, they made known what they had been told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people, Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. This is the word of God. We'll join together now in O Little Town of Bethlehem, and we'll ask you to please stand if you are able. We are going to do a little town about that. Three. Please be seated. You did well, choir, with all that mix-up. Thank you. Well, here we are. It's Christmas Eve, and we've been waiting, it seems, some of us forever. And as I said earlier with the grandchild coming, it seems like we're waiting for other things. It seems forever, too. Over the last four Sundays, we've been talking about Advent. And that's the arrival. That word means the arrival or an arrival, but in particular, the arrival of Jesus into the world. And tonight, we can think about that arrival finally taking place. We've lit the Christ candle in the center of our candles set. This service tonight really brings about a sense of hope and peace and joy and love. And those are the themes of the last four Sundays of Advent. And really what I do think is filling our hearts in so many ways. You know, I recall a very funny story about a crotchety old man complaining about the Christmas Eve service being the same thing every year, and his wife replying that, well, since he only came once a year and the theme is Christmas, what did he expect? And the joke in its original form is much funnier, but the points there are kind of the same, I guess, nonetheless. We'll say hi, it's okay. It is Christmas Eve, and the story, as I've read it to you, is one we've heard lots of times. But it's a good thing that we hear it and hear it again and hear it again. And we express this story in different ways each time we tell it. So sometimes we put a play on, sometimes we sing about it, sometimes we read about it, sometimes we talk about it in different ways. But it all is a reflection, I think, of where we are, all of us, in that corporate sense of where we are in life's journey. The reflection of where we are currently, all of us, in life's journey, did cause me to think about Mary and Joseph and the birth of Jesus. Mary and Joseph were in a particular place in their lives, and they had expectations of what being married was going to be like, what having a family was going to be like, what having children was going to be like. You know, after all, they must have seen relatives and friends and neighbors getting engaged, getting married, eventually having a family, having children running around and chatting in the midst of things at times. They had kind of an expectation of what was going to happen. That was the norm for everybody. Why should they be any different? But their place, their particular place in their journey of life was different from what it might have been. Mary was having a baby in a very different way than any place or anyone else she knew or might know in the future. Their marriage had taken place in a very different way than most marriages they could remember. And tonight, their baby's birth was going to be done in a very different way than they'd ever experienced before. Instead of having maybe a midwife or some kind of a medical person present or an experienced mother to help in a relatively sterile home environment, like Mary had probably been around her entire life, she was about to give birth of her first baby in an animal stable, alone, and with her husband right at her side. All of this, I believe, is a great message of hope for all of us. You know, church used to be done in a certain way. We all can remember it. Those of us who've been coming to church for a long time, we remember the good days, so to speak. The building was fuller from Sunday to Sunday. People were engaged in church life in a very different way than we see today. And in our life journey as a congregation, it's taken us in a very different way, just like Mary and Joseph. Church is happening in ways that we could never have imagined in the past. And just like Mary and Joseph had to adapt to their unique situation, and situation they currently found themselves in, we need to continually adapt ourselves to the unique situation we all, as a congregation, as individuals, and as that church in that wider sense, we all need to do as well. This very unique story of Christmas, of the Christmas birth event, we're all very familiar with. I read that story tonight. But it was not a story of limitations or bad circumstances or things that shouldn't have happened. You know, when we think of the elements that were involved, if I can get it up there, that's a barn. Choir, you can't see that exactly, but that's a barn. And it's hard to imagine giving birth in that building. But that's kind of what Mary was faced with. The elements were contained. They had no place to stay. It was an animal stable. There was lack of medical assistance. They had a great distance to travel while she was pregnant. All of those things combined. Herod trying to work his way around to finding out where the baby was so that he could take care of things. All of these things should have amounted to a very hard story, but instead, it's a beautiful story. Think of the creche scene. It's become something that we cherish and we have very lovely feelings about. We all set them up. We see them outside churches. We put them up in our homes even. That's because God made something holy out of things that should have been very hard. Mary and Joseph weren't limited by their current circumstances. They were instead blessed with what they had in that moment. And that's the core, I think, of what hit me as I was thinking about the Christmas story. Let's face it, folks, for the most part, we are an aging congregation. There's many of us here with snow on the roof, as we call it. Our numbers aren't what they used to be. People physically can't get involved in all the activities we used to do. Can you imagine all the dinners and the baseball games and the dances and the fundraising events and all of the bowling and all that stuff? It's hard. And it's hard to get people out to events at night in some cases because driving's getting to be a challenge at night for some of us. And we tend to spend a lot of time worrying about the future, something we never used to do. It seems that things can't just be like they used to, ever. Well, that's what I'm thinking about with Mary and Joseph. It's just like them. Things were not working out for them in the way things used to be for a married couple about to have a baby. But God made their situation a holy, emotion-filled, spiritually uplifting event for them and ultimately for us. They honored God with what they had, limited as what it might have been. And I think that is our message for Christmas. We've had an opportunity to make what we have and what we used to have, we can turn that into something that is a holy, emotion-filled, spiritually uplifting event by allowing God to intervene in our current status and situation. You know, once upon a time, I was much thinner. I was much younger. I was far more healthy and agile than I am today. The likelihood that I'm going to be thin again, young, healthy, and agile isn't very likely. But I am who I am right now, and that's an opportunity for God to work in my life as it is. It's the same for the church. We won't ever be what we were, or even what we think we should be, because our situation has changed. But God can and is working with who and where we are right now. There's a holy, emotion-filled, spiritually uplifting time ahead for us just because of where we are and who we are. And that's exactly where and who God wants us to be right now. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel, a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." We had a newborn baby in a feed bin in an animal stable, not the best of circumstances, but there was a holy, emotion-filled, spiritually uplifting event taking place for them that night and for us tonight. Glory to God in the highest. Amen. Ascribe to the Lord the glory that is due. Bring an offering and come into God's house. Worship the Lord in holy splendor. Tremble before God, all the earth. Now is the time to present our tithes and offerings for God's work. We give you thanks, Holy One, for the word of wonder you have made, forest and field, sea and sky, and for the gift of grace that you have given, a little child lying in a manger. Receive these gifts of tenderness and love, of gratitude and praise, and use them for your glory. In the name of Jesus Christ, the child of Bethlehem, we pray. Amen. Let's put them together. Thank you. Please be seated. Thank you. Going to join together now in "Good Christians All Rejoice," and please remain seated as we sing this. there's an old story that's written about, it's not scriptural, but it's about God. It's written in the Middle Ages. And it talks about prayer, and it talks about what prayer is, and the nature of prayer, and that it's, in a way, tugging on God's ear to get God's attention for those things that are near and dear to us. And that's kind of what prayer is about, in one sense. So when we bow our heads and we pray for people, we're praying for people that we know in our lives. And every person in this room has somebody that they know who's got a special need, whether that need be healing from a health problem. It could be any number of things. And what we do here in our congregation, as you know, we take this moment in time for you to participate and to say that name out loud. God knows all about that name. But we unite our hearts and we together tug on God's ear when we think of that name together. You can say that name quietly in your heart. God hears that too. So as we bow our heads now, we're praying for others in our lives. And remember, it's not just for them. It's for their family and their friends, because none of us is an island by ourselves. We're connected to one another. And what affects me affects many others. And so when someone's in need or not feeling well, that's stressing or bothering and upsetting other people. And we're praying for them too. So let's bow our heads. Gracious God, we thank you for this opportunity to respond to your moving in our lives. Lord, help us now as we think about other people. Everybody's got someone in their life who needs a little word of prayer, who needs to get your ear tugged to listen. And so now, Lord, we offer those names out loud or silently in our hearts. Thank you, Lord, for these names and every little voice we've heard tonight. We pray for all the children that are here today too. Bless them, Lord, with your love and your faith and your hope and your peace. And we thank you, Lord, for the step of faith that has been taken by everybody in this room tonight to think of someone in their life and hold them up to you silently and out loud. And we offer all of this because that child was born this night in Bethlehem. That child, Jesus. Amen. We're going to sing, have the choir sing for us now, O Holy Night. We're coming to the end of our service, and if I can wake my computer up, we'll go to the next. There we go. And I think it's not. I knew the technology would fail me at some point tonight. What have we got up on the screen? We're missing our words. Okay. Oop. Got to go back one. This is the point in the service when we're going to be sharing our Christmas lights, and I'm just going to leave it there for the moment. I'm going to call the ushers forward to get the baskets from me. Renata's going to play quietly in the background, Silent Night, and we're sharing the... see, it's gone ahead already. I'll back it up in a minute. I have hated computers for 40 years. I still do. Renata's going to play silently in the background. We're going to pass the lights out and just take the basket and take a light and light it and pass the basket on. But as you pass the basket, just say, "This is the light of Christmas," to the person, and "Merry Christmas," something to that effect to them, and just pass the basket along, just like we do when we do collection, and take the lights. Then when we've got all the lights handed out, we'll get back to verse 1 of Silent Night. We'll sit and we'll sing that together. We'll have the lights out and we'll all hold our candles. And the other thing to do with your little tea light when you're going home tonight, put it on the dashboard of your car with it on. It's nice to see all the cars driving out carrying that Christmas light out. It's very, very pretty. So, Renata, if you would start, we'll have the ushers come forward and we'll start passing these out and we'll get the lights adjusted. Thank you. I'm coming. Christmas. Pass them on. Merry Christmas. It's not cooperating, so we're going to sing what we have on the screen tonight. Let's join together now and sing that verse 2 of Silent Night. That's what we have. I'm just going to sing verse 2 a couple of times because the computer's just not going to cooperate. So we'll join together and sing this twice. Verse 2. Hold your candles up so we can see them, folks. There you go. Stand, we'll sing it one more time. Hold them up.
Silent night, holy night, shepherds quake at the sight, glory stream from heaven afar.
Rejoice in God's steadfast presence in our lives and in God's unique presence in the life of Jesus of Nazareth, born of Mary, growing through childhood into adult ministry, in all his life manifesting the peace, love, and justice of God, his voice undimmed by the centuries, his call and promise as clear to us as it was to his disciples long ago. Come to us, Lord Jesus, born in us this night in our hearts, our minds, and our lives. And may the light of your life be kindled in us and leading us to the shining truth of God with us, God for us, and God in us. Amen. Folks, that concludes our service for tonight, even though the computer's not cooperating. And I, because I have a cold, I'm not going to shake hands, but I will offer you a J for Jesus to take with you tonight. So thank you very much, and God bless you. Thank you.